Hate shopping for pants? You're not alone. Jack Archer's Jet Setter Tech Pants are basically the answer to every guy's closet struggles. With their customizable fit, wrinkle-free fabric sourced from Japan, and all-day comfort, these pants can take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Seriously, these might be the only pants you'll ever need. Style them with the Jet Setter Tee, Legacy button-down shirt, or the buttery Legacy Polo sweater, and you've got timeless staples to meet your everyday wardrobe needs. Jack Archer is just better. For a limited time, get 15% off using the code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your entire order.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath remodel is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Use digital tools to visualize flooring in your space and find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day, all Bills all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
27-24, the Bills get the road playoff monkey off their back. They win their first road playoff game in 33 seasons down in Jacksonville. Duval, more like Duvout. They beat the Jags in their own house, and it was sweet for all the Bills fans in attendance. And now it's cool to think about what's on deck for next week. We're going to talk about it all here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Matt Bove, have you recovered from maybe settled down a little bit from an intense game? I think we all, no matter what role you're in, when you're in an environment like that, I think it gets really ramped up and intense.
That game was incredible. That was an awesome football game. Obviously, it came down to the wire. All of these wild card games up to this point have been awesome. The Bills followed it up on Sunday afternoon with another close game. Really crazy back and forth, especially in the fourth quarter. Josh Allen is so unbelievably good at football. The defense made plays when they needed him to. Yeah, there's a lot of different things we can talk about in this game. But yeah, no, I think it was an awesome football game. And I think that there's a lot of reasons to be excited if you're a Bills fan, because I genuinely think the Jags are very good, very good. I think that if they won this game, they could be a team that goes on a run and gets to the Super Bowl. I genuinely feel that. So for the Bills,
I think conventional wisdom, a lot of people believe that the winner of this game would have a real good look at it. And I still do believe that.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And I think if the Jags would have come out on top, it doesn't mean like the Bills are a bad team. It just would have meant, hey, maybe the Jags are the best team in the AFC right now, and the Bills are the second or the third best team in the AFC. So yeah, like, you know, but the Bills survived in advance. Maybe there was some playoff experience. I think at the end of the day, it came down to the Bills had the best player on the field. They had Josh Allen. He did not make any notable mistakes. Trevor Lawrence made a few, and the Bills made them capitalize.
No doubt about it. The Bills had the best player on the field, who I would say, when you talk about Superman, as the way that we talk about Josh Allen, sometimes he has to overcome not only what's happening in the outside, but what's happening internally to become Superman. And in this one, he already had the big foot injury, and then he has what looked like a pretty significant knee injury down near the goal line. He gets evaluated for a head injury. He hits his hand on Osiris Torrance's helmet, and he's in a lot of pain there. And yet, time after time after time, he just came back to life and did what Superman generally does to put a team on his back. That said, there were a lot of guys that helped make plays here, but you're right about it. We have to start this game, I think, with number 17. He's going to be the story tomorrow nationally too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, think about what he did in the fourth quarter. He erased multiple deficits. They had 2 4-point deficits. Pro Football Focus had an unbelievable stat about Josh when he was trailing in this game. Did you see this number? I don't want to screw it up, so I'm going to look it up because I reposted it right here. Okay, when Josh Allen was trailing against the Jags in this football game, he was 14 of 16 for 195 total yards, 3 touchdowns, and 133.1 passer rating. he was damn near perfect when the Bills were losing in this game. When they needed him to step up, he stepped up, especially in the fourth quarter. See, there was a couple throws and a couple decisions I'm sure he would want back. But, I mean, we're nitpicking. Like, he was awesome in this game. His final stat line, 28 of 35, 273 yards, one passing touchdown, and then he had the two rushing touchdowns with those QB sneaks that he had there, especially the one that was unbelievable on, what was it, fourth and one?
Yeah.
Ended up getting up 10 yards there. That was ridiculous.
We need to address that, by the way. I will in a second, but I want to say 80% completion percentage. 28 of 35 is 80%.
Yeah.
I mean, if Brandon Cooks holds on to the ball, he's over 300 yards passing. As it was, he was over 300 yards total offense, 273 yards passing, right? Okay. So I've gotten a lot of this comment, and I don't know. A lot of times I'm doing the work, and I don't always, and I see. The one thing that people are very upset about, it seems like many people are, is the Bills actually scoring when they did and not taking a knee. I get the sentiment. We even talked about it on the radio. Dude, I say you score a touchdown when you can score a touchdown. You do not leave anything to chance. This is not a field goal situation. You don't wait till fourth down and run the clock down. If you take a knee, it moves the ball back a yard, and now you're second down. What if Josh slips on the next play? Now it's third down from the two. You cannot do that. To me, they played it right, and we get a minute left to try and stop them. And I get the sentiment. I understand it. I don't agree with it.
Also, what if they take a penalty? What if you take a false start penalty or something bad? You know what I mean?
Like, the issue I have with it, Matt, is that everybody assumes you would still score. But I would say this, and I know a few of you pointed out, and it's right, but the Jags let them score anyway. I don't think the Jags would let you score if you take a knee on one play. I think then they start playing defense.
No, I think then they start playing defense. That's definitely right. Because you would have run it down to like 20 seconds at that point. So they would have just been like, okay, we have to try and stop you here. I was going back and forth when it happened, you know, at the end of the game. So I'm up in the press box, and then with like 5 minutes left, we have to go back down to field level. So I'm watching the game, the end of the game, on a TV in the interview room with all of our other peers, and we're sitting there. And because they originally ruled the play a touchdown, the fourth and one, they ruled that a touchdown. Then we were like, it would actually be better for them if they were short, because then the Jags would have to burn their final timeout, and then you would score on the next play. But then I asked, like, should they kneel this and take it down to 25 seconds and then go? And then we had this exact same debate in the room. But I will never fault you for taking the lead in that moment. I think that is the most precious thing, is making sure that you have the lead. Cam Little's an X factor. Like, I watched him in warmups. I'm sure you did too. The Jags kicker, he was making kicks from the Jags logo with ease. So they only needed to get 20, 25 yards to even attempt a field goal to tie it. But shout out to the Bills for a perfect kick that pins the Jags kind of back. It was at the 24 yard.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, you know, the play from Trey, the unbelievable, incredible play from Trey.
And incredible play all day from Trey. Tre'Davious White, this is a signature game from Tre'Davious White. That's how good he was. Tre'Davious White made three great plays on the ball, all of them in really big spots. The first was against the tight end, Brenton Strange, where he almost picked it off on the near sideline, the Bills sideline, I should say. I think it was far on the TV. And that was right near the 10-yard line, let's say, in the red zone. And then he takes away a touchdown. Again, over the middle, tight end, takes away a touchdown. I think the next play it was actually. That was a big stop right there. And then, of course, gets his hands on the ball at the end of the game, and Cole Bishop comes up with it. Hey, I understand, and I would not fault anybody who was rolling their eyes when the Bills signed Tre'Davious White back in May, right? We got a lot of it. And how many people said, that's ridiculous, he won't even make the team, how can you do that? I think everybody who said that should at least even recognize this guy has played well this year, and he is very much needed right now in the Buffalo Bills, and he was great today.
Yeah, he was phenomenal today. I think you can make the argument he was the Bills' best defender today, because he did make some notable plays. He had those breakups that you talked about, and then obviously the play he made. I thought Cole Bishop was very good in this game. Kudos to him. Like, he was a guy we were very uncertain about going into this season. You know, we talked about the second safety position. Who's it going to be? Mm-hmm. Taylor Rapp was the guy written in pen. Cole Bishop was the guy kind of written in pencil, and he has ascended, and I think is a real bright spot for that defense. And then Shaq Thompson as well. Like, you think about the turnovers that they had in this game. One was a Cole Bishop interception. One was a Shaq Thompson interception. Like, those were nice. Also, the fourth down stop they had at the end of the whatever it was, it was either late first quarter or early second quarter, completely changed the dynamic of the game, because it looked like the Jags were going to go up 14-3. And then the Bills stopped the Jags. Trevor Lawrence was short. go down the field and score themselves. And just like that, it went from what looked like 14-3
That's right.
to a 10-7 lead for the Bills. So defensively, there are things that they need to clean up for sure. They stunk at stopping the run again. But there was a lot to like about the splash plays that they were able to make.
Got a comment here from Jeremy. I'm in that boat, Sal, but I'm happy to be wrong. Trey White looked like the Trey White we knew from 17 to 21. Hey, I mean, look, I don't think anybody saw this one coming, Jeremy, right? From Trey White, but let's hope they keep it rolling. Let's remember, we all talked about the loss of Max Hairston this week and how it could really impact the team. And a lot of people said, I can't believe Dane Jackson's on the active roster. Hey, as long as you get through the game with Tre'Davious White and Christian Benford doing their job, you should be okay. That being said, they did have to insert Jordan Hancock in the secondary because Jordan Poyer went out, and that didn't go so well. Jordan Hancock, I wonder if next week, if Jordan can't go, if they just say Cam Lewis has got to be our safety. But and maybe not. Maybe Jordan Hancock was, hey, this is a tough matchup for him, whatever. You give him a full week of reps, full week of preparing as a starter, maybe things go differently. But I think it also underscores to me, Matt, how important Jordan Poyer is to this defense.
Yeah, definitely. They were noticeably worse when Jordan Poyer was not on the field, which is a problem.
Yeah.
Somebody just said, what about Savage? I don't know. Maybe they would consider Darnell Savage. I just think they trust Cam Lewis so much.
Yep.
Probably more than they should. So I would imagine that's the Cam Lewis job if that's what they ultimately do. A lot of
matchups are different too. Matchups are different too. Like you can say like dime who's playing dime and nickel and all that.
What about Hamlin? What about DeMar?
I mean, at this point, if DeMar Hamlin plays, I think he's got to be a special teams guy. I wouldn't put him at safety.
Yeah. So I think they've got their big injury things that they got to figure out this week is of course, Jordan Poyer, of course, Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's going to be on the injury report. That guy got beaten up in this game. And I could imagine this might be like a, hey, he doesn't even practice for a couple days type deal. You know, obviously he finished the game. Anything on Kincaid? Do you know anything?
Okay, so I know there's a picture floating around and seeing him. And I will say this. We did not see Dalton Kincaid in the locker room. Anything beyond that, I can't speak on, but I will tell you that there's a picture that looks like him after the game with his teammates. And even if that's the case, it doesn't, it could be very precautionary if he is in a boot. It doesn't have to mean anything. Let's just take a breath. Let's wait till Sean McDermott talks tomorrow and let's find out what's going on with these guys. Okay. Because you never know.
The other thing is that there is a video from the NFL of Dalton Kincaid and Josh Allen celebrating on the side when the game goes final.
Yeah.
So the fact that he was still on the field is usually a good indicator.
Once I will say Ty Johnson last week finished the game and scored a touchdown and then he didn't play this week. Right.
Yeah. Think so about that. Ty Johnson.
Yeah. You never know. You never know. I'm just saying I can't confirm anything about Dalton Kincaid being in a boot. We did not see him in the locker room. But I will tell you that, you know, there is a picture out there and it looks very much like he's with his teammates. And that's the case. He's also smiling from ear to ear in the picture.
Also, I think that they have enough self-awareness that they wouldn't post something if it was like a substantial update or like a substantial injury. You know what I mean? Like,
nothing happened in the game. There was nothing in the game. There was no injury update to Dalton Kincaid. So, I just want to tell everybody, take a deep breath. Let's wait. We'll see what Sean McDermott says tomorrow and then how the week progresses with all these injuries. Obviously, Gabe Davis, that one looked very serious.
That was
bad. He got carted off. He's very he was unconsolable. They were consoling him, I should say, a knee injury. And you feel really bad for Gabe. It's the same knee that he recovered from earlier this year.
Yeah, that's a crappy one. That did not look good. So that feels like that's going to probably be something substantial. The other people to keep an eye on potentially returning this week, that's a great point from Vicious Sit.
Can you read it?
I watched Josh Allen walk out of a press conference with a boot on in Tampa years ago and then play the next week. So like that does happen.
For our audio side, he says they put guys in boots who keep the swelling down during travel.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. That's a good point and note from him. I think there is a chance Ed Oliver's window opens this week. It's a chance. I'm not saying that I think he's going to play, but I think there's a chance his window opens, which could potentially mean, hey, maybe he plays or maybe he is a week away if they win from playing. We don't know about the status of Max Hairston. Of course, we don't know about the status about Terrell Bernard. The wide receiver thing is going to be interesting because now with no Josh Palmer and with no Gabe, that leaves us with they have Shakir, they have Shavers, who also got banged up in this game, by the way. They have Keon Coleman, and they have Brandon Cooks. So they have four guys. I would imagine it's Mecole Hardman, or maybe they bring back Curtis Samuel.
That's what I was going to point out. They could do that as well. We'll see. And then you do have to monitor what's going on with Shavers. I mean, he went back in, he played the whole second half, but he was clearly banged up as well. I mean, all these injuries, unfortunate for the Bills, but it just really underscores how much this team has gutted it out. And I think give coaching a lot of credit as well, putting the right people on the field in spots. And it's has been always great at times, but I mean, they're gutting it out every way they can, both on the field and off the field. Okay. The Bills did not have a really good game on the ground. The Jags did a nice job. You know, this was good on good. We said it all week. Bills best rushing attack in the league. Jags
won there.
Yeah. The Jags won that, the good on good. That said though, what I liked about it was they never had to abandon the run completely, Matt. I think if the Bills had to go just completely one dimensional, then it would have been a little bit different. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to abandon the run. They could at least stay with the run enough to get them 4 yards, to get them 5 yards and stay on schedule, as you say in football. And because of that, they were 7 for 14 on third down, 50%. And I think that was a big part of the game, which was, no, they didn't run like they normally do, but they didn't have to become one dimensional either.
Well, I actually disagree with you on that a little bit. I think that they tried to make the run work more than it ever was. And I know that they didn't want to play behind the sticks, but it felt like every time a new first down happened, it was turn around, hand it to James Cook, 2 yard gain, 2nd and 8. It didn't feel like they were doing anything. Warren Sharp had a great tweet, and I'll find it now, about the Bills' ineffectiveness when running the ball on first down and when Josh Allen was throwing the ball on first down. And I know their identity has been to run the ball, especially on early downs. Okay, this was at 3:15 p.m., so I would imagine this was probably late third quarter. Bills on first down, 7 James Cook runs for 18 yards, 2.6 yards a carry, 8 Josh Allen passes for 62 yards, 7.8 yards per attempt. So I understand not wanting to be one-dimensional, but it was not working. I mean, James Cook's longest run of the day was 11 yards. He finished with 46 yards. That's the NFL's leading rusher. That's a really ineffective day.
Okay, so I guess the better way for me to put it wasn't because they were doing it that way. The game never was away from them either enough.
Yes,
where they had to do fair. That. They, right? Yeah. The game, that I should have described it better. What I meant was not that they were running really well on first down. They weren't. Uh-huh. But the game never got away from them. It was always a one-score game. And that allowed them to at least have the threat of running the ball still.
Yes, for sure. And excuse me, I'd be yawning.
It's okay.
So, yes, that's true. And the other thing was the Bills took a couple deep shots, which I think kept the Jags a bit honest, which is good. Like, that's why you have a player like Brandon Cooks, even though he dropped that one, which was a massive, you know, self-inflicted wound that they could have avoided. But yeah, like those deep shots, and there's one that they just missed on to Brandon Cooks, that keeps the defense honest. And then obviously the Bills' ability to run the ball. And because James Cook can rip one off at any point, you know, I'm sure teams are thinking about that in the back of their head, but holy crap is the Jags run defense. I was
really
impressed, because going into this game, I was like, yeah, it's good on good, but I don't know if they've played a team like the Bills that has Josh Allen, that has all of these different personnel groupings that they can use. That was really impressive. And I think that's a good sign moving forward too, because I think no matter who they play moving forward, they will be able to have more success on the ground than they did in this game.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Parker Washington hurt the Bills through the air. He was good in this game for the Jags, but overall, the Jags passing game was not really, really great. Trevor Lawrence was only 60%. He was 18 of 30 for 207 yards, and this is good on good, too. The Bills, the Jags have won 8 in a row with some big-time games and throwing the ball. But the Bills are the number one pass defense in the league. And I thought they played like the number one pass defense in the league against the Jags for the most part. They really kind of did some things to force Trevor Lawrence into a couple mistakes, got their hands up. They batted a couple of balls. They didn't get to him a lot. When they did, Greg Rousseau had a sack. He had a couple of pressures. But I thought the Bills overall just did a nice job of making sure they didn't get beat through the air.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that was the other, like you said, good on good. I thought Trey was awesome, like we talked about. I thought Christian Benford wasn't tested a ton, which is a sign of just, you know, how talented and stout he is. I think the Parker Washington touchdown might have been with Benford in coverage. Yes. I don't know for sure if it was zone or man. Just I don't really remember the play very much. I just remember it being a nice catch. Parker Washington hurt them. Everybody else was kind of in check. Jacoby Myers, four targets, one catch, 12 yards. Brian Thomas, two targets, two catches, 21 yards. There was that touchdown. And then, I mean, like Travis Etienne, that was little dump offs. He had 49 yards there. So it was really Parker Washington and everybody else was, how about Strange? Five targets, two catches, 9 yards. That was another guy we were talking about going into this game. They got a lot of weapons. Their wide receiver room is nice.
I mean, just reading some comments here, but that's all right. I know we could get caught up in all of that. All right. So listen, the one area we haven't talked about yet, special teams. And somebody mentioned it earlier. I wish I could find the tweet. Yeah, 100%. I wish I could find it. Everybody was worried about Cam Little, but the Bills are the ones that had the better kicker in this game. Matt Prater did a great, great job in this game. 50-yard field goal, 44-yard, I think it was, field goal. Cam Little misses. By the way, egregious. How did they let them kick that field goal at the end of the half? Are you with me? On the field, I'm telling you, it looked egregious.
Yeah, it looked egregious. I mean, there's a snapshot from the clock of like 1 second left and one of the Jags guys still 3 or 4 yards away from the line of scrimmage. And if you want to say they were set before it hit zero, I thought they had to be set for at least a second. And if there's a guy who's 3 yards away with 1 second on the clock, then how could they have even been set? It was, to me, a ridiculously stupid, terrible call. It did not, it was the ultimate ball don't lie moment.
Yes.
The minute he missed that, it was like, okay, thank goodness there's a higher power watching out to make sure this
baloney
doesn't happen. You know, the way the process works is that officials aren't made available after games to reporters, to media, but you can put in a request for a pool report, and the pro football writer like head, which in our instance is, I think it was either going to be Jay Skursky or Joe Biscaglia, we're going to have to reach out to the league and go through the process of like getting a statement from the NFL because they missed the kick. I think we all collectively were like, yeah, it's not really a story anymore. But if you would have made that kick and they lost by 3 points, that would have been a huge talking point.
No doubt. Eric asks here, why didn't Prater kick off in the second half? He didn't kick the whole game. Did you miss the first half, Eric?
Yeah.
The opening kickoff was Mitch Wisnowski. Mitch Wisnowski kicked off. They did not want Matt Prater, obviously, to re-injure, you know, his quad, and they wanted to take a little bit off his plate. That's a different kick, obviously, than a field goal. So Mitch Wisnowski, I thought, did a good job. He had one punt that didn't go so well. He had another punt that was great, pinned him at the 3 yard line, and then he did a nice job on kickoff. So I give him a lot of credit. But yeah, the Bills won the special teams battle in this one. Other than, we have to talk a negative here, Ray Davis fumble was not good.
Yeah, it was bad. It feels like sometimes, and this is when you have a great returner, and Ray Davis has had a really great year, you always tend to say, okay, let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can break off a return. 90% of the time, they would be better off just letting it go into the end zone, you know, unless they kick it short and you have to return it. But there were some times where Ray Davis could have let the ball go into the end zone or caught it a couple yards into the end zone and still brought it out. And it turns into, okay, they're starting at the 25 instead of the 35. Or in this instance, he had the fumble. And he's been very, very good this year. But it feels like sometimes I think the risk is greater than the reward there. Just start at the 35.
Yeah.
You have Josh Allen. You only at that point need like 3 first downs to even be in field goal range or something. Just start at the 35.
All right, well, let's wrap up the next little while here by talking about what else is going on here. We're watching, as we are talking to you, the Chargers and Patriots. I'm very frustrated watching this game as I look a little over you to see it on the TV I have, because the Patriots are giving the Chargers every opportunity, it seems like, to try and take this game, and they won't do it. So the Patriots lead 6-3, and they're driving to tack on a little bit more. If that winds up the case, the Patriots do win, the Bills go to Denver, and I would say that's going to be on Saturday. I don't know that, folks. It's my guess, because every year for the last 5 years, both the AFC and NFC one seed, after a week off in the wild card, played on Saturday. And we know the Steelers and Texans winner is going to play on Sunday because they're playing Monday night this week. So they're not going to
Drake May.
Oh, there's
fumbled.
A fumble. There you go.
Drake
there
May
go.
Just fumbled.
Hey, see, maybe I should say more. There you go. And the other reason why, though, but I think, look, you may people out there may go, no, they want to go to Denver. That's fine. I think you want the Chargers to win here to play the winner of the Texans Steelers game.
Yes.
Root for the Steelers. A, because it could be the Steelers. B, because it's going to be a short week for them. And C, keep the dream alive of one more game at Highmark.
If the Chargers win tonight, and once again, by the time almost all of you are listening to this, you will know. But if the Chargers beat the Patriots, the Bills and Chargers are a win away each from the Bills hosting the Chargers in the AFC Championship.
It's amazing.
That is a very, once again, if all of a sudden the Patriots explode in the second half and they win by 20, people are going to be like, what an idiot this guy sounds like. But, you know, you want the biggest threats out as soon as possible. I personally think the Patriots are a bigger threat than the Chargers, especially because the Chargers would be coming to you. I think you would be very comfortable in that matchup. Not that you're comfortable in any playoff matchup, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you want nothing to do with the Texans, but listen, if that's the draw, that's the draw. I think Denver is a more favorable matchup than Houston, but not by much.
They can still get after the passer. They have a week off. They're resting players. It's a tougher environment. It's altitude. Yes. All those things against you. That said, it's not the same offense the Bills played today, though, either.
No, it's not. I mean, they're a tad inconsistent. And, you know, like, once again, what does Bo Nix have in the playoffs? And, you know, there's a lot of valid questions there. And, you know, we're speculating at this point. We'll talk much more about this when we actually know who it is. But, you know, we're relatively close. Today is a reminder. This is my closing thought.
Okay.
Today is a reminder that even when Josh Allen is not 100%, when he plays like he did today, there is not a team and not a game that they cannot win. That is how good he was in this game. That is how good his, like, how high his ceiling is. The Bills go how Josh Allen goes. He completely exploded in the fourth quarter of this game. Sean McDermott had a great answer afterwards. He was like, you know, there's a trickle-down effect. When all of our guys see that warrior playing that tough, you know, they start to play better. They start to play more tough. There's a lot to, you know, when you got Josh Allen under center, anything is possible.
We're going to leave it on that note as we have another week of talking football with all of you. And it's always game day in Buffalo. We're close to 7,000 live viewers. Thank you so much, everybody. We really appreciate you coming aboard here at 10 o'clock at night now. But Matt and I need to go watch the rest of this game. You need to watch the rest of this game. I literally just walked in my door. 10 minutes before we went on this from the plane, the charter, the team plane, Matt, there were 300 people at the airport, I would say, greeting the Bills.
Shout out Bills fans. Never a surprise there. No. I'm conflicted. I'm going to stay up and watch the rest of this game.
You need to.
But I also have to wake up at 5 a.m. for a flight.
Okay.
And I barely slept last night. So now I'm signing up for another terrible night of sleep where, like, I'm going to be wired. And also, if the Patriots win, then I'm going to be like trying to figure out, because are they going to show this? They might show the schedule at the end of Sunday.
I think by tonight they will, and because they'll just say winner of this game will play then.
Exactly.
You know, between the Texans and the Steelers. So, yeah, I think we'll know tonight, basically. I am watching these plays here. So, all right, I need to devote attention to this game. I'll let everybody else, you know, kind of sit back and enjoy the victory. You too, Matt. Get some sleep, my man. All right. Make sure you do that. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow, the next day, whenever, later this week. The Bills will be back on the practice field. But again, if they play Saturday, you'll have a bit of a different week than if they play on a Sunday. And of course, you can always download, listen to us on Spotify, on Apple, iTunes, Odyssey app, WGR Sports Radio 550 app. It's always Game Day in Buffalo. And watch us at Sal Sports on YouTube, at Sal Sports on YouTube. Have a great night tonight. Let's see what happens with the Bills and their next opponent coming up next week. For our producer, Mike Robbie, for Matt Bovee, I'm Sal Capaccio. Have a great night, everybody.